PSLE results are coming out. It's right now. So many things, like you said, like comparisons, yes, are going to happen in all the primary schools, yes, around Singapore as we speak. Mm. It starts way back when, like right now, my brother is like 13 years old, 12 years old, and starting then itself, he's stressed. All these issues start from a very young age.
All right. Hi, my name is Ovia. I'm a student leader from Republic Polytechnic. And my question to you, sir, is that with our current economy and like the increased emphasis on grades and school branding and economy status on us as individuals, how do you think we'll be able to mitigate mental stress put on us as youth when we want to pursue our envisioned future? Because as an 18-year-old, a single daughter, to both my parents, not only do I have to take my own like future into consideration when I'm picking my career, but also the needs of my own like future family and my parents. And it's a lot to consider for an 18-year-old to pick a future now.
Okay, Ovia, thank you for the question. And then I think there's a related question.
Hi, DPM. My name is Amalina. I'm an ex-co member of Mendaki Club, so I run a lot of career programs community-wide within the Malay Muslim community. My question is very much related to what she asked earlier on in terms of redefining our notion of success as a society. I think, A, we have seen a lot of large steps in terms of moving and shifting away from grades and also a certain fixed level of definition of success. But also we see that there's a lot of intergenerational, different idea of what success looks like. And fundamentally, if what we've alluded to even in the previous segment, that the shift in mindset is very important. But also then we need industry partners in terms to, of being embracing, equally embracing of this shift in mindset as well. So I guess my question is, what are government's next steps in that direction, as well as what's the vision then where we see all sort of education pathways as well as aspirations being celebrated equally?
Sure. Thank you very much. And then one more.
Hello, hi, DPM. My name is Yifeng, and friends call me the mental health guy for doing many things relating to mental health. Yeah, so I care deeply about social inclusion of people with mental disorders in Singapore. And I think one of the things is that I'm seeing that many people with mental health disorders face subtle discrimination, not so much overt, I think especially in modern Singapore, and also long waiting times, I think, in terms of help seeking. The other one that I see quite strongly as well is in terms of being barriers of access towards mental health insurance. So my curiosity as well is like, how might we enable greater access to mental health support, particularly mental health insurance for people with mental health disorders in Singapore?
Thank you. Yes, Alistair, you have a question too, similar to that?
Yes, similar to that. I think just to add on as well, mental health is one of the things, talking about insurance as well, for mental health and for persons with disabilities as well. How can we be more inclusive in terms of the policies and some of the decisions and accessibility and reach for insurance coverages as well for us.
Mm, thank you. So let's start talking about careers and notions of success first before we pivot to mental health as well as coverage for people with disabilities and people with mental illnesses. On stress and notions of success, I can appreciate the concerns that OVR mentioned. You shouldn't feel so much stress at 18 years old. At 18 years, you should be enjoying life, and you shouldn't feel all the weight of the world on your shoulders. Please, you will be fine. Things will be fine, right? I mean, there are many opportunities ahead of you, and it's not as though you make this decision, and it's such a big, important decision, and then your whole future and the future of your family depends on that one decision. Because, I mean, you have a whole journey ahead of you. There are many options. So don't think of it as this one decision, this one exam, this one thing will determine your life forever. It doesn't, right? You will go through different paths. It always is a process of discovery and exploration. Along the way, you may find some doors are closed. You try a path and then you hit a bump along the way. And that's fine. Then you learn from the setback. You learn from the mistake. And then you move on. So I think if you adopt that mindset, a growth mindset, that this is a journey of discovery, a journey of learning through life. Through that journey, there will be ups and downs. There will be bumps along the way. Sometimes you will learn more from the setbacks and failures than from the successes. But through it all, you are always growing. You are always learning. You are always improving. And you are always becoming a better person. I think that makes life a lot more fun, a lot more exciting. And it's not as though there will be anything that is so pivotal that will decide and determine one's future. It never is like that, right? Because it's always about continuing success, continuing improvement, continual learning. And then to that same point, that as we do this, people will naturally pursue different paths. And we do need to broaden our definitions of success in society. We are trying very hard to do that because generally you can think about jobs as cognitive jobs, things that require cognitive skills, jobs that require hands-on skills, and jobs that require heart jobs, caring jobs. And I think across most of the advanced economy worldwide, not just in Singapore, we place too much of a premium on jobs that require cognitive skills and not enough emphasis, not enough recognition on people who do hands-on work, our technicians, our plumbers, our electricians, hands-on work, or people who do the care work, the nurses, the counselors. They do a lot of care work, and we need to find a better balance to celebrate success across all of these different fields. And I would also say, rather than talk about just success, I think we should celebrate excellence, right? And celebrate excellence in these different fields, because it's really all about us doing the best that we can. And everyone is different. Right, excellence for me in a certain area may be different from excellence for you in a different in the same area, because we are different gifts, different abilities, and we really don't need to compare. A lot of the stress comes from comparison. A lot of the stress comes from, oh, my friend is doing this and I am doing that, and then our salaries are different and all that, and then we start feeling stressed out. So if we can reduce that invidious comparisons with one another, I know the parents do it, it can't be helped. I was subject to it too. When you go Chinese New Year or in the, you know, whatever the festivities, everyone meets one another, then the parents say, oh, what's your child doing? What's your child doing? And they start to talk. It's inevitable, but sometimes you've got to tune out some of these conversations, right? Don't get into the oppression of being compared with one another, because it's for each of us to lead our own lives. And if our lives, if we take the attitude that I want to pursue excellence in my life, in whatever field I choose, in whatever profession I choose, and the pursuit of excellence is a lifelong pursuit. It cannot be done overnight, right? You cannot be excellent in anything overnight, but it's a lifelong pursuit. And we just keep on getting better and better and better. And if we see that process of continuous growth and improvement, I hope that will make life more satisfying and more fulfilling. And that's the attitude I take. I've been playing the guitar for more than 40 years. I wish I were a better guitar player, you know, but I will never be as good as a top-notch professional guitar player, but I play for recreation every now and then when I have time. I still learn, I still try to improve, and when I can master a song, and I can master, you know, something new, I feel some enjoyment, right? So it's always about that sense of doing better, I think, throughout life. And I hope all of us can embrace that mindset.
Yeah, I would love to hear more from, you know, the folks in here, because I think quite a few people have charted their own, you know, their own paths. They've also had to kind of break free from societal expectations of what success looks like, right?
I hope this is also one way to address mental health issues. A lot of mental health, I think that was highlighted, stems from this stress, rat race, comparisons, and then the feeling that I'm pigeonholed, right? I can't be myself, and I have to conform to expectations that are imposed on me. And that I can understand, that contributes to a lot of stress. So hopefully if young people like yourselves start to break out of that, and see life differently, I hope it will help to reduce some of the mental pressures you face. But having said that, beyond these sorts of mental pressures, there are genuine in the, people with genuinely with mental health issues, and we need to destigmatize mental illness. It's an important thing we need to do, because there's still a bit of a stigma. And I think, Sabrina, yourself, you have been involved in
efforts. Of course, and I personally have bipolar disorder as well. So it's definitely something that I also experience.
So we need to be able to talk about this, just as we are quite comfortable talking about people with physical illness today. We don't, there's no stigma. You say, I'm ill, I'm down with a particular illness, I have to see a doctor. But somehow, when it comes to mental health, there is a little bit of a stigma. You don't want to talk, people are uncomfortable, and then you may not come forward to seek help. And even when you want to seek help, you're not quite sure where to go. And then there is issues of medical coverage, insurance coverage, affordability. So it's a whole host of issues that we are aware of and we are looking to improve.
And how are we trying to improve that tangibly?
There's a task force at work. More will be revealed.
Tukan you.
More will be revealed. And that includes Celeste's point about disability. So whether it's mental health or people with disabilities looking for better insurance and medical coverage, I think those are things we will want to work on.
So what can we expect from the task force for 2023?
All will be revealed in due course.
And what are your hopes for it?
No, I think it starts with, as I mentioned just now, making the effort to reduce the stigma and then making help more accessible, more readily accessible, so that people with issues, whether it's mental, people with disabilities, if they need help, we must be able to make help accessible for them, including medical help. We must also get society to understand this. Employers need to understand this, to be understanding when their employees or their staff say, I have an illness. But if it's not a physical illness, it's a mental illness, they need to be understanding and not treat that differently and say, oh, you know, it's not legitimate, this is not real. So I think we need to get mindsets to change, and even employers to be more inclusive. Particularly for people with disabilities, we are making a special extra push to get employers to hire more people with disabilities, because there are many opportunities where people with disabilities can still contribute effectively and productively at the workplace. So there are quite a number of things that we are working on.
Definitely. And I think very much like climate change as well, there's a huge mindset shift that needs to be done before the actions can be tangibly, you know, affected, right?
Yep.
So, okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on
a few
work
others.
Okay, we've got a couple more.
Hi, so my name is Kelly. I'm a computer science student at SUTD and also someone that tries to advocate for topics like mental health on social media. So actually, I run an Instagram page to raise awareness for social media. So I guess linking to the topic of destigmatization and raising awareness for mental health issues, I think that recently with the growing, growing trend on social media and the growing rise of many youth being on social media, I think that there's a slew of misinformation and also a set of like misdiagnosis or people doing self-diagnosis based on certain trends on, for example, TikTok or Instagram. And I've seen this over the past like 9 to 10 years. People have started off with questionnaires on maybe like on certain websites, and now they are jumping into things like, so there are different trends like, oh, I have this condition or I have this symptom, and youth might end up thinking that, resonate with this symptom, hence I have this disorder. So I was wondering what could be done about this, especially because the youths of today and tomorrow are using social media more often.
Thank you. Thank you. Important point. I think a few others.
I think we have one more from Vianna.
I think there was one more. Sorry, I didn't see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
First and foremost, a very good morning to DPM Wong for joining us today. It's a great pleasure to have you. I'm Vianna, founder of a homegrown mental health startup that I've been running since 2017 called Huddle Humans. We know mental health has been a very prominent, some would say a paramount issue in recent years. There are countless barriers in place for young people trying to seek that first layer of mental health support. Some examples would be the stigma attached to young people trying to attend appointments at our only government hospital, IMH, or even just simply saying a school counselor might afford a high risk of being cast aside by their fellow peers.
Secondly, there's an incredible lack of psychoeducation and awareness on mental health. And thirdly, the institutional and structural barriers in place, such as long waiting times in hospitals and significant fees, clinical fees in both the private and public health sectors. My question to DPM is, what are your general thoughts about mental health? And further, what are you and your team's approach towards looking into mental health and trying to understand how can we approach it and how can we tackle these issues from a youth perspective and trying to understand how can we destigmatize and raise awareness about mental health as a whole?
Yes, understand. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Very quick one. And in the spirit of having a conversation with you, I'm not sure if many of you know, right now the PSLE results are coming out. It's right now. So many things, like you said, like comparisons, yes, are going to happen in all the primary schools, yes, around Singapore as we speak. Mm-hmm. So that being said, mental health, it doesn't start at the age that we are in right now. Mm. We are much older. Mm. It starts way back when, like right now, my brother is like 13 years old, 12 years old. And starting then itself, he's stressed. All these issues start from a very young age. So yeah, that's just a simple point I want to bring up.
Thank you. Hilmi?
My name is Hilmi. I wear different hats. Community leader, son and uncle of a 12-year-old niece who's collecting her results now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So on the point of comparison, I mean, it's inevitable that everywhere we go, in employment no less, there is going to be comparisons inevitably, that which has led to this term or phenomenon that is brewing under called quiet quitting.
Yes.
Where those that are deemed to be doing just the bare minimum are being labelled as such. So how can we dissuade this phenomenon, this perception, from boiling over where, you know, individuals like us, you know, where we are more connected through social media, where we understand that there's more to life than just career or employment, and we want to seek self-fulfillment and self-actualization in many other ways, apart from just being bogged down by our careers.
Yep.
But unfortunately, with this term being labeled quite freely nowadays, we are being seen in the opposite light. You know, where instead of giving our best and more towards our careers, you know, we are being labeled as such rather than wanting to be able to pursue other endeavors.
Thank you so much. Let's take the issues. One more. Okay.
Hi, my name is Talia and I work with Hello Humans as well. So I myself struggle with my mental health and I went to Australia last 3 years and I actually got, I had the space to heal. Mm. But when I came back to Singapore, it came back and I feel that it was the environment at home and the space I needed and I did not have. And my parents recently only found out about this because I had an emotional outburst in front of them. And I think they really love me and they really want to help. And I think my parents are also seeking more to be more equipped with like mental health knowledge and like, mm-hmm, how to help their children and things like that. So my suggestion also is, in the future, do we see more conversations with parents about mental health and even like parental forums like this to have conversations and learn from one another as well?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. So so on the broad range of issues around mental health, I'll take the question just now. What are we doing? Give a little bit more flavor and color. I think the first step we've already talked about, we need to destigmatize. That's the very first step. I'm involved in the SOS, Samaritans of Singapore, as a patron, and we've been always putting out those messages. But we want to destigmatize because you need to get people to be prepared to come forward to seek help readily. So that's an important first step, which we are continuing to do. Beyond that, then we need to build up capabilities. Because destigmatize, you go and seek help, but who are the people who will provide treatment and help? Therefore, we need to build up capabilities across a whole range of institutions, not just in healthcare, not just in IMH or the private sector, but also school counselors, also in our universities, polytechnics, and ITEs, also in workplaces, build up capabilities so that people understand what mental health is about and are able to provide response. At some level, it can be at the counselor level. It doesn't have to go all the way to medical treatment. But if there is a need, then you need medical treatment. Then we have to build up the whole range of capabilities. And then thirdly, we need to address affordability. So these are the three issues that we are destigmatized, capability building, and affordability that we are focused on. But to the point that was raised just now too, right? Well, the other point is social media sometimes is encouraging people to do their own diagnosis. And this is applying not just only to mental illness, it applies to all sorts of illness. Nowadays, people go to the doctor and tell the doctor, I know what's wrong with me. You don't have to tell me. And therefore, I want this kind of medication because I've already diagnosed myself. But actually, it's not always accurate. We know that if everyone can self-diagnose, then what's the point of having a doctor? Then you just self-diagnose and then you buy your own medication from a pharmacy. But this is not always accurate. The self-diagnosis may not be accurate. So we do need to reach out to people, help them understand. Self-diagnosis tools are not bad, but it's just a first cut, and you should not jump to the conclusion on the basis of a simple survey that you have this disorder or that you have this particular illness. You need to seek expert advice, and that goes to the point of building up capabilities so that there will be experts, there will be people who can provide guidance and who can provide a better diagnosis to confirm whatever the issues the person is facing. But the broader issues that many of you talked about is also, what are the root causes of mental illness? No point just providing the treatment, right? Waiting for people to fall sick and then you treat the person who is sick. When we talk about physical illness, we are talking about healthier SG, which is let's try to be healthy first, right? Let's not make MOH a ministry of sickness. Let's make MOH a ministry of health, where we are healthy to begin with. And the same must apply to mental health. So in physical illness, the way to stay healthy is to have good diet, physical exercise, those sorts of things. So in the same vein, we must start promoting positive habits and positive mindsets for better mental health. And that includes parenting. Very important, parenting skills. So we need to have talks with parents, what role parents can play. And it includes us helping people to understand what role individuals play and what we can all do ourselves to promote more positive habits. I think some of the more positive habits where mental health is concerned, frankly, is maybe cut back on the usage of social media. Because unfortunately, social media does reinforce negative comparisons. You see your friends doing this and then you get caught up. Or negative labels like quiet quitting, which is not helpful at all. Right? So if we can also learn to strengthen our connections with one another, human connections matter a lot for positive mental health. Strengthen our sense of community, our sense of belonging with the people around us, beyond our family, our friends. I think all these are positive actions we can take to become healthier as a country, both physically as well as mentally.
Definitely, it's about what can we do for ourselves and also what can we do for the people around us, right? Because I think oftentimes when it comes to mental health, we go straight to the professionals and or we become the professionals ourselves to self-diagnose. So I think we've kind of come to the end of this segment. So thank you everyone for your sharing, your questions and feedback also.
So all of you know what you're supposed to do?
Oh, no.
No, neither do I, so it's okay. We will wing it together.